are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
I want us to be a nation where people say, we want to go to Wales and we want to find out how they did it.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
This week, listen to Ross McGill, founder of Teacher Toolkit, interview Kirsty Williams, Minister for Education of Wales since 2016, Assembly Member for Brecon and Radnorshire since 1999, and was leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats from 2008 to 2016. In today's podcast, some of the things we'll be discussing are what growing up in the Welsh education system was like, the changes in the Welsh curriculum and how teachers will be supported, and Kirsty's vision for the Welsh education system moving forwards.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I am interviewing Kirsty Williams, Education Minister of Wales since 2016. Kirsty has been the Assembly Member for Brecon and Radnorshire since 1999 and was leader of the Welsh Liberal Democrats from 2008 to 2016. So, Bora da, Kirsty, good morning.
Bora da.
Could you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell everyone, I've covered the headlines, but your day-to-day work?
First of all, thank you so much for the invitation to be with you this morning.
Wow.
Well, as the Minister for Education, I have overall responsibility for Welsh Government education and science policy also, from our early years right the way through our school system, our post-compulsory education and training system, including ethnic colleges, higher education and community learning. I can't give you an average day.
No, I bet you can't. No.
Every day is different. But what I can tell you is that the best part of my week is the opportunity to visit schools.
I was going to say, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, and there isn't a week that goes by when I am not out and about meeting Welsh teachers and the children and young people that they work with.
Fantastic. Now, I'll come back to politics shortly in your day-to-day work, but could we rewind back to your own childhood and your own schooling in Wales? So you went to secondary in Llanelli, is that right?
Yes, that's right. So I was brought up in the village of Binia in Carmarthenshire, just outside Llanelli. And my overriding memory of my own education, whether that be in primary school, secondary school, or going on to university in Manchester and the University of Missouri in the US, my overriding memory for me are those key individuals that taught me, including my inspirational history and politics tutor, Mr. Nick Burry. It's a cliche, isn't it? It's a cliche because it's true. There is always that one teacher.
So I always ask, what are the reasons? So can I just unpick the hallmarks of that particular teacher?
I can close my eyes and I can see him now.
Okay.
He came to our school on supply.
Yeah.
Into a very bored class of Form 3, as it was in those days.
Yes.
Year 9, history class. And he asked us what we were doing. We had been doing, it seemed, the Industrial Revolution for years. And he said, we're not going to do that today. We're going to do the American War of Independence.
Right.
And his passion for his subject.
Yes.
And his passion for teaching and inspiring young people just gripped me from the very moment he started that lesson. And he became such an important person in my life. I can't say that I was a particularly good student at that point.
Oh, right, okay.
He said, you know, he took me to one side and he said, you can be better than this.
Right, good.
And you can do this.
So I often get from a lot of people I interview is that it's the passion of a teacher and the belief in an individual. So at what point did politics start to become part of your kind of daily interests to then go on in your career?
Well, I was very fortunate. My school offered politics A-level.
Okay.
And I took that alongside English and history. And my first lesson in politics A-level was the electoral system.
Right.
This was explained to me, the first-past-the-post system.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me incredibly unfair. We were then taught about alternative electoral systems, and that's where my interest in politics really sparked. Mr. Bury took us to Swansea University to hear Roy Jenkins, that well-known son of Abersachan, just hear him speak. And it was at that moment I just thought, I need to get engaged. I need to get involved. It was at the height of the...
What year was this, roughly?
I was in my lower sixth.
Okay.
And at that point, at the height of the Thatcher government. And,
okay, so late 80s.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. And that's when I began to get involved in politics, although at that stage I never thought for one moment that I would career in politics. It's something that I did in my evenings and weekends. Mm-hmm. And I do remember my poor late father going to a parents' evening and being told by my English teacher, if Kirsty does not stop this politics nonsense, she will amount to nothing in life.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, dear. What do you think your father would say today?
Well, unfortunately, my father passed away a few years ago. So, although he was aware that...
So he was aware of your political career?
Yes. Yeah. So he saw me through my early days as an assembly member and saw me become the first woman leader of a political party in Wales. Unfortunately, he's not here to see me be the minister.
Well, I'm sure he'd be incredibly proud, and it's a great achievement. And, you know, I went to school for 2 or 3 years of my life as a teenager in the early 80s. And now on my travels visiting schools all across the country, I'm actually on my way to Haverford West in a couple of weeks. So I've not been to Llanelli specifically, but I'll be on that way at some point. Now, your work's very complex. You know, the whole raft of education systems from the smallest children in our system to adult learners. Now, I want to kind of steer towards curriculum, Kirsty. Now, I know you're looking to reform the curriculum. You're giving schools autonomy. And I'll come on to the kind of relationships and sexuality education part of that shortly. But what are the key challenges for the Welsh government in terms of introducing this? What are the challenges for schools?
Well, you're right. We are completely reforming our curriculum for schools. Mm-hmm. It'll be the first time in the history of Wales that we will have a standalone curriculum. The curriculum and associated guidance was published just a fortnight ago. What's really important to remember about our curriculum reforms is that they have been developed in the spirit of co-construction with the profession. Mm-hmm. This isn't a top-down approach to curriculum reform. This has been working with our practitioners to develop a purpose-led curriculum which focuses on the skills and knowledge and experiences that our children and young people need to go on to be successful adults. Mm-hmm. We now focus on this period of implementation. Although the curriculum is now available, it does not become statutory until September 2022 mm-hmm. in our primary schools and in year 7 of our secondary schools, and then we'll roll out from 2022. And now we really need to focus on making sure that everybody is ready for this change. Mm-hmm. So that means a strong focus now on professional learning mm-hmm. For those that work with our children and for those people that will have the responsibility of taking this document and turning it into a fantastic classroom experience for our children and young people. So a big focus on professional learning, getting our teachers ready for the changes, but also ensuring that they are supported by local education authorities and school improvement services, that they too are aligned to the purposes of the new curriculum.
Now, I've got several thoughts here. Now, I think it's important for every jurisdiction of the British Isles to look at their curriculum and update it for our children's future. We can turn to Scotland and look at their curriculum for excellence, England just going through curriculum reform. You know, we then drop in the word PISA, for example, with Scotland, and we think of how the evaluation of curriculum may or may not make a difference to standards. Have you got some thoughts on how you would safeguard your introduction of the curriculum plans for the Welsh Government and how you can ensure that it will actually raise standards?
Well, absolutely. We're not just changing for change's sake. Mm-hmm. We know that our curriculum needs to be dated. Its very origins still lie in the 1980s, before the fall of the Berlin Wall and before we were all carrying computers around in our pockets.
Yes.
So we need to update it. We need to ensure that our children, as I said, are gaining the knowledge, the skills and experiences that they need to be mm-hmm. successful adults. But we also need to make sure that there is a clear linkage between curriculum and assessment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're taking the time to get it right. I'm always the person that wants to do things yesterday rather than tomorrow. But we know that we need to safeguard absolutely standards within our schools and improve standards. That's why we're taking the time to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And this big emphasis on professional learning to ensure that our teachers have the mm-hmm. that have the skills and the confidence to deliver this new curriculum.
So in terms of practicalities for schools, you know, I've been involved with many curriculum changes throughout my career. Often the impact is on teacher workload, for example. Mm-hmm. Does the Welsh Government have plans to give schools a bit of additional funding for extra inset days and kind of professional development opportunities?
Absolutely. So we have already changed the regulations and have created an additional inset day for the next 3 years
to create that bit of time.
And we have also invested record amounts of money in professional learning in this current year and in the next financial year, some £15 million being made available, the vast, vast majority of that being delegated to head teachers because they are in the best position to understand the professional learning needs and the preparedness of their school for these changes. So you're absolutely right. We need to create the time and create the financial resources
mm-hmm.
For schools to be able to get ready.
Now, one particular important and delicate issue of the curriculum is the introduction of the statutory relationships and sexuality education aspects of the curriculum, you know, LGBT issues, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I know you've also faced some challenges in Wales, as well as we have recently in Birmingham, for example. Could you give me a snapshot in terms of the current dialogue with this particular area?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct. I believe it's really important that all children have access to a broad and balanced curriculum that does indeed include relationship and sexuality education.
Mm-hmm.
But when we think of the world in which our children and young people are growing up in, it's absolutely essential if we're going to keep them safe and if we're going to keep them with a good sense of well-being, that they need access to these lessons. I also recognise that it can be a sensitive topic and mm-hmm. people sometimes misunderstand what these lessons involve. That's why we're working very closely with community groups as we develop very clear guidance around what this part of the curriculum will contain.
Okay, sure.
Because we want to build confidence amongst parents that we will be introducing these lessons in an age-appropriate and a developmentally appropriate way
mm-hmm.
With the best interests of their children at the forefront of that. And we want to continue those dialogues between schools and parents so that they can have confidence about what their children will be taught. And we'll be taking the next 2.5 years to build that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a point of principle to me.
Yes.
That children, if we're to keep our children safe in a world where we know that with a few clicks of a button, they can be seeing images,
mm-hmm.
you know, that can be incredibly confusing and potentially damaging to
yes.
them. When we listen to independent experts on domestic violence that tell us we need to teach our children about consent and coercive control and what their responsibilities and their rights are in a relationship. So we need to get this right for children, and they need access to these lessons. And school, with well-trained and confident teachers,
mm-hmm.
is the safe space that we can create for them to discuss, to learn mm-hmm. and to talk about.
Now, I'm exactly with you on that point. But in England, although the lessons will be statutory, parents will still have the right to withdraw their children from classes up to the age of 15. Is that still the case in Wales? Or
no, we've consulted on this, and we will be ensuring full access to the curriculum for all children, and parents will no longer have the right to deprive their children of the
Brilliant. Business. Well, so you're certainly leading the way then for the British Isles, which is great to hear. Now, I went to school in Tonnerevel in the 80s, I think they're Tonnerevel Comprehensive. And I left Wales in 91 and went up to Blackpool. Now I work in Wales in lots of schools, and much has changed, but it's still difficult to reach parts of Wales, obviously resources and landscape and demographics. And I kind of just want to talk about what are your visions for Wales being truly world-class, world-leading, and perhaps, you know, let's just recap on what your school experience again was in Llanelli and what your hopes are for maybe particularly that particular, not just being exclusive to Llanelli, being your own, but if we just use that as an example, what are your hopes for Llanelli and, of course, in all of Wales to be world-class?
Well, these days I live in between Brecon and Bilth Wells, and I have children in the system. So I have a 13-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old daughter, an 18-year-old daughter that are receiving their education right now, right this minute, in the Welsh school system. My vision and my ambition for schools across Wales is what I want for my own children. I want them to go to a well-resourced school, and increasingly via our 21st Century and Colleges programme, we've seen billions of pounds invested in school buildings. I want them to be educated in a suitable environment by well-trained, motivated professionals, being able to deliver a modern, exciting curriculum with the resources that they need to do that well, and to ensure that all of our children reach their full potential and leave our school system with those four purposes of our new curriculum embedded within them.
What would you say to your 15-year-old self in Llanelli, who was being a bit naughty before Mr. Berry arrived?
Mr. Berry turned up.
What would be your piece of advice?
My piece of advice would be probably to work a bit harder, but also to have confidence in your abilities. Sometimes I think we need to build the self-confidence of our children. Sometimes we are, as a nation of people, we can be self-deprecating.
And yes.
Self-praise is
imposter syndrome, yeah.
Yeah, and self-praise is no recommendation.
Yes.
But we have it within us as a nation.
Well, you're a great example, you know, politician and leading the way for all children in Wales. If I put you in a corner, what's the one thing you'd like to see change in Welsh education? You know, you've got the curriculum reforms. Let's put that to the side. What's the one thing?
I want us to be a world leader. I want other systems from across the world to use the Welsh educational reform journey as an example of how you can improve education systems. I want us to be a nation where people say, we want to go to Wales and we want to find out how they did it.
Attracting lots of students from overseas. What's your favourite part? Now, I know you said you visit schools regularly, but could we be, not a specific school, but could you be specific on things that you see in schools that that you really like observing as an MP?
Well, first of all, I just love meeting the children. You never quite know what they're going to say. And we've had some fabulous, fabulous conversations with children who are incredibly honest.
Yes.
About what's happening to them in school, what they like about their education system, what they don't like, what they want more of. But I am always buoyed up by the inspirational teachers that I meet who are driven by a moral purpose to do the best for their children. And sometimes they're doing that in quite challenging circumstances.
Yes.
And I never leave those visits without feeling incredibly grateful for those individuals that are in our classrooms day in, day out, providing those opportunities for young people. But you never quite know what a five-year-old...
No, you don't. They'll bypass all the press releases. Now, we know teachers, you know, moral compass, working hard, you know, kind of average salary, but workload, time poor teachers, often workload is the greatest gripe And my particular research or passion is about teachers leaving the profession prematurely. So again, how is the Welsh Government, the curriculum reforms, going to safeguard that? I'm sure you have your attrition statistics also. And on your visits to schools, could you also just reference things that you've seen that are incredible workload solutions?
Yes, well, you're absolutely right. First of all, we need to recruit more people into the teaching profession. Mm-hmm. But once we once they're working in our schools, we need to keep them there, and we need to support them to be the professionals that they want to be. So we have undertaken a radical reform programme of our initial teacher education to make sure that those preparations to get into the classroom are as good as they can be. We're also now reforming those first crucial years of a teacher's career to ensure that we get into classrooms, that they are properly supported and feel capable of doing the job that they want to do. We're looking at ongoing professional development. When we look at why people make the reason to be in one profession or another, it's often about that career progression and that support for ongoing professional professional learning, and we need to create those opportunities here within the Welsh system, including working towards the introduction of a new master's programme. And we also need then to look, as you say, around workload. So we're working with our teaching unions and with local employers on developing a workload toolkit to really challenge practices within schools. We're also looking on supporting leadership. And ensuring that leadership in Welsh schools is strong. Sometimes it is poor leadership that can add stress and workload to other professionals within that school. So ensuring that we have really good, strong support programmes for school leaders, and looking to do what we can to ensure that the environment in which our teachers are working in is a supportive one. And that leads us back to our curriculum reform, where there is greater autonomy. We know in high-performing education systems across the world, teacher autonomy is really, really important in terms of job satisfaction and reducing levels of stress and attrition. And our curriculum reforms are based on trusting the professionals to do the job that they were trained to do and being able to deliver lessons that best meet the needs of the students in front of them, rather than lessons that some politician has dictated to them that they should teach.
Okay, now this all sounds fantastic, and I'm actually getting quite excited about the curriculum opportunities, but I'm just going to drop in the word ESTIN.
Okay.
Now, autonomy, fine, I get it, and I would love to work in a school where I can make my own curriculum choices, but of course we need to have some kind of statutory or some type of framework to have standards. So how do we balance this with ESTIN and the inspection framework and safeguarding our children and giving parents clarity in terms of school qualities?
Well, of course, the curriculum isn't a free-for-all, and what we've published is the framework in which we would expect schools to be working in terms, and we will legislate for the purposes and the six areas of learning and experience and the progression steps that we would expect children to make whilst they're in school. But you're right, ESTIN is an important part of this process. Back to the point about giving schools time to prepare, we have come to an agreement with ESTIN where traditional inspections will pause this year to be able to give schools a little bit of space to begin to engage with our new curriculum.
So will that be for the whole academic year?
Yeah, for the whole academic year. But we'll also, but ESTIN in the meantime will be out and about in schools for they themselves to get ready for curriculum changes, because I recognise that unless our inspection framework changes to align itself to our new curriculum, we can't expect practices in school to change.
I really wish Amanda Spielman was listening to you here. That's great. I mean, we're talking about pausing Ofsted, well, at least lots of tweeters and bloggers and myself included here. I read Professor Donaldson's recommendations a couple of years ago, so it's really heartwarming to see that you are listening. Just a kind of random question. Sabbaticals, in terms of teacher workload, is that in the pipeline or something that already the Welsh Government can offer teachers in schools?
Well, it's something that we're looking at the moment. So it was a recommendation by a different professional who's advising us. And we will continue to keep those things under consideration as we develop a package of professional support and opportunities for the profession.
Sure.
One of our exciting sabbatical opportunities that we do currently offer at the moment is to improve the teaching of Welsh in our English medium
yes.
schools. So we do offer a sabbatical for teachers to be able to go and improve their Welsh so that they can bring those skills back.
So if I couldn't speak Welsh as an English-speaking teacher in a Welsh school, I could go to a sabbatical in a Welsh-speaking school? Is that
First of all, to get to overcome this perception, you do not need to be a Welsh speaker to teach in our schools, because sometimes teachers across the border who may be looking with some
yes.
interest at the teaching opportunities in Wales sometimes
okay.
feel that they can't come and teach here because they don't speak
Welsh. So the door is open. The door's open.
Oh, absolutely. very much so. And I would urge teachers across the border to have a look at our curriculum
yeah.
reforms. Have a look at what's changing in Welsh education.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to be a Welsh speaker to teach in the Welsh education system.
Sure.
But we do want to improve the quality of Welsh language learning opportunities in our English medium sector.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we do provide sabbatical opportunities for those teachers working in the English medium sector to improve their Welsh skills.
Now, one of my most stark memories of my time in school in Wales was speaking Welsh. And it's a couple of sentences that I can still say to this day. But I'll give it to you and you can tell me how well.
Oh, gosh.
And you'll laugh when you hear it. Esgi sodifwi, mae'n ddrwg gen I fi mod I
nôr. Well, that's not bad.
Not bad.
And
I could count to 10, and that's about it. So, one last thing. In the schools you visit, is there any school that has a standout great workload strategy or idea that they're deploying that sparked your interest?
We have worked with ESTIN and our school improvement services to publish best practice around managing workload in school.
This is the toolkit.
Yeah, and there's an
okay.
there is ongoing work at the moment to be working, as I said, with unions and employers on how we can improve that. But I think what's really important when I visit schools is that crucial combination of great leadership from the senior management team, great governors who support and challenge the senior leadership team where necessary,
mm-hmm.
and a recognition around the need to invest in staff. And that's been really difficult because of austerity. I'd be the first person to
sure.
acknowledge that. And that's why it's been so important for me to be able to identify funds from Welsh Government to devolve down to schools
mm-hmm.
so that schools can once again be really truly investing in the professional learning of their staff, which has been really, really challenging for schools to do because of pressures on budgets. And
yeah, sure.
And that's what we want our schools to do, is to really, really invest in their staff, because we know by doing that we'll be investing in our children. No education system can mm-hmm. exceed the quality of the people who work with our children.
No, absolutely.
You know?
Now, I haven't looked into the details of funding, but I'm assuming you're spending more. And do you have a funding formula per pupil as well as free school meal families?
Education funding in Wales is complex.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, schools are funded, actually, not out of the education budget, but out of the local government budget, because,
mm-hmm.
of course, we do not have a system of free schools and academies.
Sure.
Exist across the border in
mm-hmm.
England. Our schools, our local council schools.
Yeah, very similar to the Scotland system as well.
So what we do within our department is provide additional funding for schools on top of what they would get for the day-to-day running.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, this year we will spend a record amount of money on the Pupil Development Grant. That is additional resources for schools, for each pupil that is entitled to free school meals.
Mm-hmm.
We're extending the number of children that are entitled to that support into our pupil referral units, also to our looked after children. We have specific funding programs to support the education of our minority ethnic
mm-hmm.
Groups. But I'd be the first to admit that resources, funding, continues to be difficult
mm-hmm.
After years and years and years of austerity. Even though we've seen the slight loosening of the purse strings this year, that doesn't mean that we can reverse all of those decisions in year one. Mm-hmm. But Welsh Government is looking, as I said, to provide additional resources to take some of the pressure off school budgets. So for this instance, this year, we'll spend £50 million on educational technology to ensure that all schools are brought up to a basic standard across the nation in terms of connectivity.
Yeah, I was at the Hub Wales event in Swansea two or three years ago, and you were speaking at the start of the day from memory. Liberty Stadium, I think it was.
Yeah. At the Liberty Stadium. Yeah. So we've brought this year, because of that £50 million investment, I'm confident that we can bring all of our schools up to a national standard. Welsh Government has also brokered a deal, for instance, to ensure that Microsoft Office products are freely available to all schools.
Okay, great.
By being able to do that on a national level, that's available for all schools free of charge and for teachers free of charge to use both in school and at home, and the same for pupils.
And I'm naive when it comes to the details of Welsh geography, but I'm assuming there are some challenges in terms of connectivity in certain regions of Wales.
Yes, absolutely. There has been some real challenges, but I'm pleased to say now that all of our schools, there was one solitary school in Pembrokeshire last year where we had to come up with some interesting technology to solve their problem.
Okay, so everyone's connected.
But everybody's connected, and our approach this year is to be focusing less in the whys and the ground outside the school to now focusing in the infrastructure within schools.
Right, good.
That £50 million means that everybody will be brought up to a basic standard, and we can now think about investing in kit and
Now, I've got one last hard question for you. Professor Dylan William, a Welsh chap, he's living in Florida now. I'm sure you're familiar with his work, assessment.
I am familiar with
Black Box. I podcast Dylan a couple of months ago, and he said this fascinating statement. He said, in your lifetime, you're only ever going to read about 4,000 books.
Oh, my gosh.
So in terms of literacy and our children in your Welsh schools, could I put you in a corner and ask you to give me kind of five books you think all families should read or should be in school libraries, perhaps, for people to dabble with?
Oh, my goodness me. Now, that is a question.
Well, let's talk about the importance of literacy first while you think of some books.
Well, it is absolutely vital. And before we start talking about literacy, we have to talk about oracy.
Of course.
Because that's the beginning of literacy skills. And we know that...
And particularly in a bilingual nation, yes.
Yeah, for a whole host of reasons, you know, children in some communities are coming into school with very low oracy levels. And there is a job of work to do, to be working with parenting. That's why the Welsh Government funds a Give It Time programme.
Right.
Giving messages to parents about what they can do to support the development of these skills in their children. What should we all have in a...
So what books did you read to your children? What books did you read to your kids when they were younger?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, we started off with some of the classics, such as The Gruffalo,
yes,
A Room
I've
on the Broom,
yeah.
Who's in the Loo, Mike Mulligan and his Steam Shovel,
right.
Duck in a Truck, all the classics. we then moved on to some, otherwise known as Sheila the Great, Superfudge,
right.
Some of the Judy Blume, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing.
Okay.
Harry Potter, we've been through
so
the Harry Potter stage.
What one book should every school library have in Wales?
They should have To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. Okay, so those sales are about to spike. Okay, right, thank you, Jessica. I'm going to throw some quick-fire questions at you to finish off.
I'll do my best.
No pause or hesitation. It's a bit like Timmy's Mallet. And I'm going to put some countdown music on the background to distract you as well. So, first question, 30 seconds. What's the current project you're working on?
Curriculum implementation.
Okay, what book are you reading?
At the moment, I am reading Anne Tyler's A Beginner's Goodbye.
Okay, five animals you have on your farm?
Cows, sheep, horses, cats, dogs, and I've even got a tortoise.
Okay, great. In terms of Twitter, are you a lurker or do you contribute more?
I contribute more. Sometimes some people would suggest a bit too much.
Right. Piece of advice for a 15-year-old Kirsty wanting to be a politician?
Push that monkey off your shoulder that keeps whispering to you, you can't do it.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming you're doing your dream job, but if you weren't, what would it be?
I would be a bookseller.
Right, okay.
My bookshop.
A bookshop in Llanelli?
A bookshop in Brecon and Radnorshire.
Okay, great. Who would you recommend I interview next and why?
Oh, my goodness me. I'm always a great fan of Steve Mumby, and his recent book on imperfect leadership is very, very interesting.
Okay, I know Steve. What do you do to relax?
I read, and my children are very keen members of their local Young Farmers Club. Help out running Pont Farn Young Farmers, which usually means I am painting sets or I am doing something with young farmers.
Right, I'm going to pause the music. I remember going to, is it Llandudrod Wells or Booth?
Llandudrod Wells, that's right.
When I lived on a farm with my mother and father at the House of the Trees in Penrhyfyr, and I used to take my goat up there for the annual show and things. All the memories.
Well,
right, so I paused the music to ask you one final question. What would you want your legacy to be?
A world-class education system for Wales and a right to lifelong learning, because learning doesn't just happen whilst you're in compulsory school age, it happens throughout your life.
Brilliant. Kirsty, it's been an absolute honour. Thank you for your precious time. Keep up the amazing work, and I look forward to seeing the curriculum hit the ground and for the Welsh standards to rise.
Diolch yn fawr, hwyl fawr, diolch.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.